Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Here we are again. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston. I am the head coach with High Thrive Coaching. And with me today is Scott Murray. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. It's technical difficulties. I'm glad I don't have to deal with it. So,
Scott here is has been working in some of our programs, and I thought I would just give a little bit of an inside look at how things run and, you know, what was going on with Scott, how he's been helped. I know a lot of you have that question out there. You're wondering, okay, is this something that can actually work? Can I be helped? Is this too far gone? You know, questions like that. And so Heather and I like to have these interviews on occasion just to kind of show you that, you know, we do have some solutions here and it works for, you know, regular people like yourselves. So Scott, you know, I just want to, let's just start off with the some basic questions here. How did you find this? What was going on before you got in touch with High Thrive Coaching?
It was chaotic. I was at a low point, an extremely low point. I was trying to think about this the other day because I've changed so much. Like one of the things I'd like to say is that it's, I am being helped. I'm not helped. I am helped. I am being helped, but it's not fixed. It's not, sure. I'm not there yet. I have a goal in mind. That whole morning plan and mindset, it's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. It's been, 4 months now since the beginning of January.
Yeah, I believe.
I think I started the course January 21st. Mm-hmm. So 3 months and a little bit. And it's just given me a lot of tools to get to where I'm at right now. Tools that I didn't have before or things that I had forgotten. Before, I was definitely not practicing anything mindful. I was in a bad place. Both Rhonda and I were. We were being really hard on each other. We weren't communicating. We were not practicing healthy lifestyles to excess. You know, a lot of escaping.
Yeah.
And we had to everything had to change. Everything had come to a stop as well. We weren't getting ahead on anything because we weren't communicating.
So you're saying like you guys had some of these challenges, you weren't really getting ahead on things. What would you say were some of the biggest challenges that you and Rhonda have had or are continuing to work on?
I haven't had a drink. I've been sober since January 12th. That's huge. That's just a part of it.
When's the last time that you've gone that long?
I have a 13-year-old daughter, so probably 9 months after she was born.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a long haul. It was casual at the beginning. It was casual before, but it became a lifestyle. Not a good lifestyle. And it was every day. It wasn't, you know, every day wake up in the morning, start to drink and not get through the day, but it was, you know, every evening, and it made for headaches the next day.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling now with all that? I mean, it's, you know, it's been say a few months, but how are you feeling?
I love beer. I would love to have a beer, but one beer would turn into six beers.
Sure.
I love beer. I think it's tasty. But but it doesn't suit the lifestyle I wanted. I haven't wanted that lifestyle for years. I'm not 24 years old anymore. I've been married for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a business owner. There's other things that are priority. My daughter was now 13 years old, and she's more aware now than she was before, and it was affecting her lifestyle too. So we needed to, but everything had come to a stop. Like, our business was suffering. Every project we took on, including working on the house or working at the shop or just dealing with family in general, everything was chaos. It was because we weren't communicating, my wife and I, and we weren't being the partners that we were supposed to be.
Now, you mentioned the drinking there, and I mean, we with this program, we don't specifically focus on, say, something like substance abuse, addiction, anything along those lines. But it almost sounds like you feel like there's been some help recently, or you feel like there's been a big shift. Is that something that you learned from us, or is this, what do you think made the biggest difference with that specifically?
It was the mindset shift. It was like, I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual. I don't go to church. I don't know what I believe in as far as God goes, but I am spiritual and I believe in something bigger than this. Mm-hmm. I believe that we're put here for a reason. And we all have something to provide. There's something bigger here. I just don't know if I need to go to church every Sunday to do it, to practice once a week. I'm really enjoying waking up in the morning and my morning routine of 20 minutes of being mindful and doing it every morning, or if I need to meditate in the afternoon. Just depends on where I'm at right now with COVID-19 and the stress of everything. You know, there's everybody else is stressed right now. Before, like the way that people are now with this and being stressed and unsure and that feeling you get in your chest, I lived with that feeling in my chest for years before November. Like, November was just a breaking point for my wife and I. We've gone through a lot of traumatic experiences with losing family members, and that was a big one at the end of November, losing our brother-in-law and the effect that it had on my wife in particular and the way that we treated the situation. I was not willing to step up and support her. I was done. She was done before that. Like, we were talking about.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is there's like a lot of things that were really culminating.
Yeah.
In the fall, you got to this breaking point, and you recognize that your lifestyle in general just wasn't working. And it sounds like you also feel like you weren't necessarily going to turn to religion, and certainly for those who really want to go that route, I think that's a great route to go, but you wanted something else. And, you know, it sounds like what really made a big difference is some of those exercises that Heather and I teach in terms of adjusting your mindset, adjusting the way you think, the way you feel, and, you know, a lot of those exercises surrounding that.
Yeah. And then you teaching me how to communicate and how to open up so mm-hmm. I could talk to my wife. Any communication we had was painful. It was very stressed, and it didn't go well until I started following the program and listening to what you were saying, and you supplied ideas. Like, I can't say that everything I had to take what you said and I had to apply it to my situation.
Oh, sure. Yes.
And then pick away at it. Like I had to read between the lines because you don't give specific, maybe for some people, but for my situation, it wasn't specific to me, but it had bearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different. And yeah, certainly one of the things that I really like to do is, you know, when I work with people is teach them the principles behind instructions. So if I'm telling people to go do this, I want to make sure that they understand why they need to do certain things. And it's much better, you know, it sounds like you're saying it yourself. You were learning some principles so that you could then apply those principles a little bit more broadly into your specific situation.
Yeah, I was in a position that needed mentors. Mm-hmm. You said right away that you had spent thousands of dollars on mentorship.
Yes.
Well, you guys are my mentors.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm held accountable.
Absolutely.
That helped a lot.
And yeah, I absolutely think that accountability does play a big role in a lot of what we do here with our clients. Now, when we tried this the last time, you started getting into this a bit. And then we had those technical difficulties. We had to start over. But what had you tried before to make this work? Because I imagine you'd been telling me just now that you'd kind of recognized that this wasn't the lifestyle that you wanted for some time. And you'd started to mention that you'd tried a few other things. Well, what did you try?
Well, as far as counseling, is that what you meant?
Yeah, to fix what was going on with you and Rhonda.
Yeah, we tried family counseling. We tried individual counseling. Mm-hmm. What I liked about your program was that you guys stated where was the place to complain. That opened up my eyes, because going to see another counselor, they would ask, you know, well, where are you at right now? If I was going to go see my counselor, it's not like I was going on a once a week. I was going when I was in duress.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be saying, well, what's going on? You would just unload. And it would be a person to talk to about what your concerns were. You guys laid it out that there's places for that. So like I could talk to Curran, or I could talk to you, or I could send an email to support and state what my concern was and then go from there. I liked how the through Facebook, how we could state our wins. Like that wasn't the place to unload our concerns. And it was a real kind of like, that wins is a huge one. I wanted to tell you about a win I had yesterday. You know, my wife's not the kind of person who's going to, which I wish she would, but she's just not that kind of person yet or right now who is going to say that she loves me, which would be amazing. But yesterday, we've been restoring a house for 14 years now. And on the weekend, we got a couple rooms kind of organized to where how they're going to be completed in the end. And there's a couple open areas in the corners. And my daughter and my wife were saying, well, what's going to go there? And I said, well, a plant would go there. A plant could go there. It'd be awesome. Get some green in this house. It'd be beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I stumbled upon a couple of really nice plants that were inside nice pots. And I said, okay, well, I'll go talk to my wife and see what she thinks. And I went to go talk to Rhonda. And my win for today is that yesterday she told me that she trusts me. That's awesome. Well, I put that into a special bank in my heart, and I'll save that one for a few days.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been since you've last heard things like that from Rhonda? I mean, before that?
Oh.
We had a long run,
mm-hmm. November is when everything cusped. We went for 2 years before that. I stopped telling her I loved her because she never told me, but I didn't know what her way of showing love was. And then we were both in such a bad place that we stopped doing that. We got out of practice of being grateful, of appreciating each other. We just got into a routine of moving forwards. We weren't growing. We were just moving forwards.
It sounds like to me, like, what was going on before? You guys tried going to counseling and it just was a place to dump. And I've heard that complaint before, and this is nothing against traditional therapists or whatnot. I think many of them do a great job with many problems. I also recognize, you know, I was kind of in that realm for some time, and I know that a lot of for a lot of therapists, the marriage arena is not their focus. And so what I will sometimes see is people approaching it like they would other problems, like say depression or mood disorders, anxiety disorders, other more common things. And the formula doesn't quite fit the same in those cases. I think one of the, you know, and you started getting into this last, when we had tried this a little bit ago, I think what you had mentioned before, like one of the big things that you appreciated was the action steps that we would take rather than just having this as a place to complain. There were areas to complain and there were areas to share your victories. And then there were areas to find solutions, essentially. Now with all of this, where are things at right now? Now I think you said it right at the beginning. It's not fixed. You're working on fixing things, but where are you and Rhonda compared to where you were at, say, in the fall?
We have daily plans. There was a lot of ideas there. Like I said, it was really chaotic. I just felt like I was constantly trying to catch up and could never catch up. It's almost like we had to come to a truce. Everything kind of came to a stop, and it was probably a good thing. And we got daily plans now. Like we're talking, we have an idea of what we're doing during the day. We have routines that we're doing, you know, basic routines or, you know, chores and stuff like that, taking care of the house, spending time with Maya. Routines are daily meditation, finding time for, you know, an hour a day for this program. Mm-hmm. I keep on going back to different podcasts and re-listening, like how you guys have it laid out. There's just so many times as you're learning this stuff that you try something, especially at the beginning when it's really hard, and you try something and at least you tried it, and it may not have gone smoothly as you thought it would. But going back to the program and re-listening to it again, it just opens up a new eye. And as you hit milestones, going back and listening to it again, and you see it in a different light. Mm-hmm. And then you try something else and you just keep on building on that. Heather talked about listening to everything twice. God, I'd say 3 times, 4 times. I became fanatic about it because I was just looking for answers. Like I said, things had come to a stop, and all I wanted to do was repair my family and figure out where we were going to go from here or from there. And at least having podcasts to listen to and learning something, it was at least me working on it. Like if Rhonda wasn't going to work on it, at least I was doing something to try to figure it out. My main thought in the back of my head was, if anything, I just wanted us to figure out how to separate on good terms so our daughter could have a good future. Both Rhonda and I come from divorced families. We don't have people around us who are our mentors. We don't have people around us who ever had good experiences. All of our families are broken and and went through divorce. I don't have any experience with somebody who went through it and came out the other end happy. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, no, I like, you didn't have a really good example. And it, the truth is, no one really, there's nothing really out there to, you know, at least in the normal course of society, that really teaches you how to be a good partner in a marriage. Now, you mentioned, you said, you know, one of your initial goals was simply to part on good terms. Is that still the goal between you and Rhonda?
Parting? No, it's no longer the goal. The goal is to, we're back as a team again.
And I just want to like take a moment to recognize that's a big deal.
It's huge. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like if you guys were talking, okay, we're going to split, we're going to, you know, come apart, and now you're like, okay, how can we work this out? That's a huge turnaround. And, you know, I bet that didn't all come right at the beginning. It didn't happen right away.
No, we had to come up with, we had safe words. Like we literally were like, okay, we have to just stop. Like part of our conversations, we're just like, hey, like we need to come up with a safe word, like asparagus, like something needs to like stop these conversations and we just need to walk away and then come back and try it again. But we would just need to stop. Like we were getting into these conversations, these arguments that were going nowhere, and they would get heated. And like she was ready to leave. But we didn't know how. So,
well, I even remember like our first conversations, she was in that spot and you were ready to put the work in. Now, what do you think made the biggest difference here? I know you did a lot of work yourself. What do you think made the biggest difference for Rhonda and joining you in trying to make things work?
Trying to think what part of the program it was. You were talking about not goals, but rewards.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make it so she saw a result. Like that was the hardest part. Like there were times where like I was saying to her, like, don't you see that that things are changing?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't trust me though. That was huge. We had to get past that point. We're still just like yesterday. She told me she trusts me. Like that was yesterday.
Yeah. I know one of the big principles that I teach is, you know, sometimes I'll see situations where someone makes promises. They're like, see, I'm making changes. Or sometimes I'll see people who are making the changes, but not communicating that very well. And one of the big things I like to teach is making sure that those messages and those actions are really tied together very well. It sounds like you were saying, okay, you needed to make sure that you were doing more than just saying that things were going to be better. You need to help her to see what was, you know, the results of that.
Yeah. And my intent, like I had, I'm doing this for this, like I'm doing this for you. Like she didn't see that at some points. We were just moving ahead and she wasn't seeing that I was doing that specific thing for us or for her.
Mm-hmm.
So why would she say thank you? Why would she recognize it?
To explain that, and just for everyone else, what I see that goes on is when people start coming apart, when a couple starts coming apart, there's a shift, and it happens over time. The person who's leaving the marriage, they start describing things differently. They start saying, okay, well, in this case, maybe Rhonda is saying, well, Scott doesn't care. Scott is doing all these things. And it creates this story, this narrative. And I can identify very clearly when things start shifting in a better direction is when that narrative shifts, when the person who's leaving starts saying, my partner is actually trying, is a good person, is, you know, actually is doing what they're saying that they're going to do. And when that narrative shifts, it becomes a lot easier to for them to recognize, you know, the good efforts and all of that, and it becomes easier to turn things around.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. So right there, this is why that moment where you said, Rhonda told you that she trusted you. In my mind, is that indication? Is that indication that the narrative is shifting and that she's starting to describe you in more positive terms?
Yeah.
And it sounded like what you said was the big difference was you started showing her that what you're doing, you know, you're actually showing her and following through with what you're saying, essentially.
Yeah, we've simplified our lives. So, like, especially with what just happened, mm-hmm. or what's going on right now, you really have to come up with a plan for every day. Like, this is what we're doing today. Everybody just got locked in their houses and you can't just go out and do stuff. So you're waking up in the morning going, okay, what are we doing today? Well, it's the three of us. We're doing whatever the three of us want to do today. There's things we need to do today. It's a simpler lifestyle. So our intentions for the day are pretty simple, mm-hmm. To try to figure out at this point. And we're doing this for the three of us. So there's all these opportunities every day to do stuff for the other person. The person doing that has to, I feel, be saying to the other person, I'm doing this for you, you know, or else it comes across like you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, even in healthy relationships, I think that same thing happens. You know, I certainly hit a point when Jen and I were really busy, you know, many years ago, we had a very similar problem. We weren't seeing each other's efforts or actions, and we had to learn, you know, we had to relearn, hey, we need to communicate this along with, you know, actually putting in an effort. And so, I mean, this is
kids a normal part.
What was that?
How many kids do you guys have?
Oh, we have five.
You have five kids. I imagine you do this every day now. Like, it's become a practice. Like, how we have one kid and a business, so that's probably like four other kids. So I got like five kids. So,
running a business it adds a lot onto that. Heather, I don't know how Heather manages it. They have eight kids, Jen and I had to learn very much how to communicate properly, how to show our love properly. Because, you know, we would have gotten to a point of breaking if we had not learned that lesson ourselves.
Yeah, you start to stumble. And once you start to stumble, it's really hard to get your footing back underneath you. I've learned that over the years so many times. Like, I could sense when I was starting to stumble, and that was probably the hardest part in November is I started to stumble. And I couldn't get my feet back underneath me, and I just started screwing up over and over and over and over again. And I, you know, had to stop and figure this thing out, or else it wasn't going to move forwards and it was going to get worse. I didn't want Rhonda to leave. I couldn't figure out how she was going to leave. I didn't know how we were going to break this thing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to. But the way that things were at that point, something had to happen, and it was either going to get worse or it was going to get better. And
things are on the mend now here. Yeah, so awesome. What do you think was made the biggest difference? What was the biggest thing that you've taken away from this?
Mindfulness, meditating, mm-hmm. Planning, like, I've always been very organized, which I stopped being organized, and figuring out how to do that, finding time to spend with myself and realizing when Rhonda needed time for herself and being okay with that and not thinking, oh, we got all of this stuff to do. Why are we just sitting here? Like finding time for ourselves, finding time for her to have time for herself, finding time for me to have time for myself. Yeah. Multiple times throughout the day, just to stop and shut my brain off for a few minutes and breathe. It's been great.
No, absolutely. And you know, I try to put into practice a lot of what we teach. I'll tell you, you know, that's probably made the biggest difference in my life as well. It can be amazing what taking a little bit of time for yourself to think about what, you know, think about your thoughts for a bit, what that can do to your day or just to your life in general. Mm-hmm. So even in these few months, I mean, you said it yourself, not everything is all the way fixed. But even in these few months, things have turned around. What I imagine you've taken away a lot here. And, you know, you keep going back to this time in the fall when things were really rough. What kind of advice would you give to someone else who was in that position at that point in your life?
I'm not too sure. I feel stronger now than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret that stuff. So I think it's something we had to go through. I'd like to think at this point, I might think differently in a few months.
So in terms of it, advice for them, kind of like a sense that, you know, the challenges are not terrible. Sometimes they are needed. You know, giving them that kind of acceptance for where they're at. Is that what you would tell them to?
Yeah, you gotta forgive yourself. We're gonna mess up. We're gonna mess up every other day. But it's, you know, gotta learn to forgive ourselves. Give ourselves a little bit of room to breathe and just know that we're not perfect. I needed to go through that stuff. Rhonda and I both did to realize I think at this point that what our roles are in this and how strong each of us are. I don't know if I say I don't regret it anymore. So I don't, it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I treated it the wrong way. I could have been a better person. I don't regret it.
No, some great words there. You know, it certainly is terrible when you're in that moment. And I'm sure in that moment you didn't really appreciate where you were. But it sounds like you've really taken a lot of lessons away from those struggles.
Yeah.
And I actually think that, you know, those hardest moments in our life are the best teachers. Sounds like you've come to a very similar conclusion here. So, you know, Scott, you know, even with everything that's happened and, you know, even with the road still ahead of you, it sounds like you feel like you're in a much better place right now, that you feel a lot more secure with your relationship, even though it isn't necessarily perfect. And it sounds like even beyond that, you have some acceptance that, you know, it doesn't need to be perfect. And I mean, that's got to be a great place to be compared to where you were at.
Yeah, people are gonna argue. That's part of it. Part of our problem at the time, and even a week ago, because that was a part of our conversation a week ago in one of our arguments. Before that, Rhonda didn't want to be in any of these arguments. It was all traumatic to her, where I just thought that we were talking. you know, trying to figure it out, negotiating. But negotiating was a heated argument. I didn't think that they turned into heated arguments. But learning how to ask questions and get through these conversations, not sweeping it underneath the carpet.
Yeah.
Even she knows that now, she knows that I'm going to pick up the topic again and talk about it instead of just moving on and pretending it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't learn anything from just forgetting about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, I appreciate your input here. You know, it's really, you know, with me being on the front line a lot of these cases, it feels really good to hear that it's, you know, what I'm doing is making a difference. So I appreciate your time here. Appreciate your thoughts. What was that?
I appreciate you, Mark. Thanks for this.
You're welcome. So do you have any parting thoughts before we say goodbye here? Anything at all?
I'm glad it's summer. I hope everybody gets some vitamin D today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with the quarantine going on, you know, I know me and my family, we've just been craving to be able to get outside. But anyways, once again, thank you for your time, Scott. And if you guys have any questions, Heather and I will be popping in the comments section here and there. With that, stay tuned next week. We'll be back here, of course, with the next podcast. And Scott, thank you again, and we'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.